The John DiBella Podcast.
Stupidity has raised its ugly head once again.
Okay.
All right. And this time in the guise of a meteorologist from Arkansas who now works in Cleveland.
Okay.
All right. And he doesn't understand. Now, you might recall, it was maybe about a year ago or so, we were dealing with the debate of who's responsible for putting the fence on the supermarket belt. Right? Is it the person who has, you know, who's put the food down, or is it the person behind them?
Oh, the little thing.
Yeah, okay. The little divider.
When you said fence.
Right. The little divider.
Okay.
Right? All right. So, and I don't think it matters either way. I will put it down not to protect myself from theirs, but it's a courtesy to the person behind
me. Half the time it's up towards the front of the register, so they can't reach it anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. You know, so you do that just as a kindness.
Sure.
This guy says, oh, no. We're doing it all wrong, right? And it has nothing to do with who puts it down. It has to do with how it goes. He goes, you people use this like a privacy fence, right? Where you're going across the belt.
Right.
Right? He believes that you should put it in the center of the belt lengthwise.
No. Because then that's so dumb.
It's ridiculously
now
stupid.
Now I've got to wait till the thing gets moved up to put more of my card on.
Right, exactly.
That's a good,
it's foot and a half long? It's absolutely asinine. You know what? I'm going with diagonal from now on. That's not going to do. I'm going to go, can anything be more? So, and of course, the internet is exploding
of
over
course,
this.
Yeah.
Right? You know, but it's just like, he goes, I'm in a store and knows that y'all don't know how to use the divider.
Listen, pal.
Y'all don't know how to speak, to tell you the truth.
Your state's like 51st
in
education. 51st.
Right. So, oh, God. Other alternatives were like standing on end, right? Try using multiple dividers and make a shape, right? I'm going to make a little triangle.
Morons. If anyone doesn't understand that, I know there's 50 states. Don't call here, please, okay?
All right.
They're stupid. 51st in education.
And now it's time for...
Random
facts.
1, 2, 3, five.
All right, let's start off this morning with the Academy Awards coming up. Something you might not have realized. No actor or actress won an Oscar for a performance in a Steven Spielberg movie until Daniel Day-Lewis did it in 2013 for Lincoln.
Wow.
Yeah, with all of the movies that man made, no actor ever got an award for it. What do you got?
That 70s show debuted in 1998, 18 years after the 70s ended.
Uh-huh.
And that 90s show debuted last month on Netflix, 23 years
after the 90s. Okay.
All right, Pocahontas and William Shakespeare died less than 1 year apart, and they both died in England.
Really?
Yeah. He died in April of 1616, and she died about 150 miles away in March of 1617. She was actually on a boat trying to head back to Virginia, and she got sick, and they only made it to Gravesend, England.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Got the poops. And he killed her.
The poops?
Listen, man, that stuff would take you out back then.
That's true.
And the guy who invented the parachute died testing it.
Oh, of course.
His name was Franz Eichchulk, and he was a tailor in France. He invented the first parachute in 1912, used it to jump off the Eiffel Tower, and died when it didn't work quite right. And there are your...
Random. You know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents Song Stories.
In 1971, 10 years after, was basically known as an album rock band.
All right.
But what's really unheard of, think of this, all right? Their four albums, they put out four albums between 1969 and 1971. All right, four albums in that time, all of them charted in the top 25. And Alvin Lee, who was the lead guitarist, was just a great guy, a great guitarist. I got to spend time with him a few times. And we had some conversations about stuff. And one thing that he hated was any kind of political music. He didn't want political messages in his music. Meanwhile, I'd Love to Change the World was somewhat political. And this is what he said when we addressed him.
I don't like preaching in music. I don't like to tell people what to think, what to do, what to say. If I have opinions, I keep them to myself. And I'd Love to Change the World was the first time I'd actually made some kind of semi-political statement, and I felt very worried about it. And I very nearly didn't put the song forward because I was a bit embarrassed by it. It's not really preaching because I was saying I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do, so I'll leave it up to you. Just saying that maybe the world does need changing. I wasn't giving any answers.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Here's a question for both of you. What is the most annoying sound in the world that everyone ignores?
That people ignore?
Yes, the most annoying sound in the world that everybody ignores.
Our building's fire alarm.
No.
I haven't left for
that's
a fire.
That's just us.
All right. So. I have nothing else. The thing that annoys me the most is my cat meowing all the time.
No. It would be this.
Oh.
Yeah. You hear a car alarm and it's like, I hope that thing, nobody calls the cops.
Right.
Nobody does anything, just let it be there. Well, some guy in New York decided, you know what, maybe he could do something with it. So he took the car alarm. Gary Ullman might get a little upset about this. This is going on outside his window, and he just decided, let's add.
The John DeBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
We got the sad news late last night and early this morning that original Lynyrd Skynyrd guitarist Gary Rossington passed away. He was 71 years old. He was the longest-serving member of the band, the last of the original members, and the band put out this message. It is with our deepest sympathy and sadness that we have to advise that we lost our brother, friend, family member, songwriter, and guitarist, Gary Rossington. Gary is now with his Skynyrd brothers and family in heaven and playing it pretty, as he always does. Please keep Dale, Mary, Annie, and the entire Rossington family in your prayers and respect the family's privacy at this difficult time. The wild thing about Gary is, he went through so many medical things, and people always ask him, why don't you retire? Why don't you retire? And here's what he had to say about that.
I think when you retire, you kind of just fade away your own self. And everybody through the years has told me, thanks for keeping the music going. I would have never done the tribute tour in 87 without Johnny being a singer. He was like the only person that fit. He sounded and looked like Ronnie, and he's been with us so long, he's part of Skynyrd too. I'm sorry, but Ronnie would have loved him to be doing this. He used to ask me now if something happened to him, get Johnny. So we're doing what Ronnie's wishes were.
Can you imagine how much fun it must have been developing this song?
Oh my God, yeah.
All right.
Playing
I mean, just like the first time, and they just started just letting loose and getting looser and looser with it. And just, wow, it really, really is a lot of fun, that song. The fun they must have had. Speaking of fun, the last time, I don't think this was the last time we talked to Johnny Van Zandt, but it was a while ago. It could have been maybe as late as 2015.
Okay.
Were you here for
I in the clip? If I am, it's 15 or later.
Okay. All right, fine. I asked Johnny Van Zandt is a great storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking to Johnny Van Zandt and Gary Rossington, and I asked him, tell me your favorite Gary story.
Oh my God. Years ago, this is one of my favorite ones. Now, he's going to be pissed at me for telling this. But years ago, in our drinking days,
mm-hmm.
I'm asleep on the bus, right? And all of a sudden, I hear this, and Gary had put a can of tuna fish in the microwave. So, of course, I woke up. I was like, what are you doing? He goes, I was trying to get me something to eat, and I was going to warm this tuna fish up. I said, you don't have to open it first to put it on a blender. So that was just one of our stories. A lot of them we can't tell.
That was too technical for me.
Gary was out of the loop on that one.
I got to tell you, I love talking to Johnny Van Zandt.
Oh, yeah,
I really
great.
Love talking to Johnny.
He's always happy.
He is always happy. Well, except for that one day when he was moving gravel. Remember that time? It was like
that might have been the last time we talked to him.
He
was doing stuff out in his garden. Maybe it was a different time. Maybe he was out in the garden multiple times.
No, it was out in the garden. He was moving stuff around. So, today, if you have not heard the sad news, Gary Rossington has passed away at 71 years old.
Send the herd. Send the herd.
All right, Steve, get us started.
All right. There's one question that hasn't been asked in about 40 years.
What's that?
Have you ever had too much Boone's Farm?
An insatiable
appetite for Arby's?
All right. Really?
Yeah, one guy in Minnesota sure did. Last Friday, the police in Minnesota were called to an Arby's location where a 43-year-old male driver was in the drive-thru unresponsive. Cops determined that the man was just fine. He was just extremely drunk. He reportedly passed out immediately after ordering curly fries.
Okay. What, he didn't go for the meats?
Didn't get any of the meats. Fortunately, another customer noticed that something was wrong and was able to open the driver's side door and shift the vehicle into park.
Thank God. The man
was too drunk to do any field sobriety tests. He admitted to drinking Boone's Farm earlier in the day, and he was arrested.
They still make it?
The last time I saw Boone's Farm, I think I was at Kristen's sorority house at LaSalle. And that was also the first time I'd ever seen Boone's Farm.
Let's see. Remember Office Space?
Yeah.
You know, where the characters attempt to create a virus that will steal fractions of pennies?
Yes.
From an accounting system. Well, the scheme got botched in the movie, and it got botched in real life also. A 28-year-old software engineer in Seattle was arrested after being caught skimming money from his employer, Zulily.com. He manipulated the code so that the checkout page would send shipping fees to his personal account. He got around $260,000 before he was caught, plus another $41,000 in merchandise, which is almost equal. It's actually slightly more than the amount of money they got in the movie. In the movie, they got $300,000. The man told detectives that the plan was inspired by Office Space. He even outlined the project in a file on his laptop, which was titled Office Space Project. All right. He's been charged with two counts of theft in the first degree and one count of identity theft in the first degree.
In the herd.
Back to you.
All right. Connecticut man is in police custody after he tried to set a woman on fire.
Huh?
Middletown resident Eugene Boudreaux, 55, had apparently gotten into an argument with a woman he's been seeing when he decided that it was time to douse her with gasoline.
Oh, God.
She called the police as Boudreaux tried to ignite her. She ran out of the trailer. That's not to say that nothing caught on fire, because when the police got there, two trailers were on fire, including Boudreaux's own, were fully engulfed in flames. The fire had also spread to nearby vehicles, and charges against Boudreaux, who was taken to the hospital to be treated for serious burns, are currently pending.
In the herd.
Lastly this morning, I've never faked a pee test, but the first thing you need for a pee test is clean pee.
Yeah.
All right? Something needs to be tested. There's chemistry involved. It's not just like a look at it. Oh, this looks fine. A woman in Florida named Shannon Hunter has been charged with urine testing fraud. She was due to provide a drug test last week, but she must have known that she wasn't going to pass because she didn't pee in the cup. Instead, she filled a pill bottle with soda and tap water.
Mm.
All right? Okay. All right. Then, returned the drug test and basically, she used Mountain Dew. Water and Mountain Dew. Okay.
At least the water cuts down on the green of Mountain Dew.
I would have gone ginger ale.
Right, yes. Something that at least resembles sort of pee.
It sounds like the probation officer caught Shannon faking the test in the moment, but either way, she wasn't going to get away with it. The soda and water mix surely failed as the test went through.
Of course.
Shannon pleaded no contest and will have to serve up to 20 days in jail, pay fines, and she could have her probation revoked. Her rap sheet includes convictions for theft, possession of drug paraphernalia, domestic battery, narcotics possession, and driving without a license.
Wow.
I think there's a good chance that she's got a problem.
In the herd.
The John DeBella Show.
That's what you get for limping in short stacked with a pack of donkeys.
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.